BioInsights Podcast.
Hello, I'm Roisin McGuigan, editor of Nucleic Acid Insights. In the last few years, mRNA has moved to the fore in the vaccine and cell and gene therapy fields, and as a result, its successful production for these downstream applications has never been more crucial. In this episode of the podcast, we'll be discussing enhancing mRNA results through strategic RNA design and quality control. Joining me today, I have Ryan Lahr. Ryan received his bachelor's degree from the University of Northern Iowa and has since built a 15-plus year career in the biotech industry, where he has developed products for Hologic, Illumina, and now CellScript as a senior R&D scientist. CellScript is a biotech company located in Madison, Wisconsin, that develops technologies for RNA translated in cells, for use in downstream applications such as cell and gene therapy research, therapeutics, and mRNA vaccine development. So first up, Ryan, it would be great if you could tell me a bit about yourself and the current work that you do.
My name's Ryan Lahr. I work as part of the product development team at CellScript. Our company develops high-quality, easy-to-use technologies for downstream applications where mRNA is translated in cells. Two of these applications are cell and gene therapy research and the mRNA vaccine development. CellScript provides technologies for all aspects of mRNA synthesis, including the use of modified nucleotides in mRNA. Additionally, we have recently launched benchtop page-based quality control kits for assessing mRNA capping quality and tail length.
Fantastic, thank you. Then, delving straight into our topic for today, can you frame for us the key challenges and considerations when optimizing mRNA design for different research applications in the vaccine and cell and gene therapy fields?
Robust protein expression of mRNA is essential for successful applications in both the vaccine development and cell and gene therapy research. Some background about that is the structure of an mRNA molecule consists of a 5' cap, an RNA transcript, and a 3' poly A tail. The transcript contains the coding region to be translated into a protein by ribosomes and cells. The 5' cap interacts with cellular translation machinery for recruitment of the mRNA to ribosomes for translation, whereas the 3' poly A tail is involved in protecting the transcript from exonuclease digestion in cells. Therefore, all three regions must be carefully considered when designing your transcript for successful translation in cells. There are several design elements known to improve stability and longevity of mRNA in cells while also reducing innate immunogenicity, which is the body's first line of defense against foreign substances. Researchers should consider incorporating these design elements into their mRNA to address their specific application needs. One critically important consideration is minimization of immunogenic response by cells. A well-documented method for reducing immunogenicity is incorporation of modified nucleosides like pseudouridine and N1 pseudouridine into mRNA transcripts. Another important consideration concerns the 5' cap structure. Complete capping of the 5' end of all mRNAs in your sample, as well as modifications to the 5' cap structure, are important for both recruitment of cellular machinery for translation and in vivo stability of your mRNA. Additionally, 3' poly A tail length should be taken into account to ensure the mRNA transcript survives exonuclease digestion in cells. Synthesized mRNA with poly A tails shorter than 150 to 200 days, which is the typical tail length found in nature, may experience digestion that negatively affects stability of the transcript.
And can you expand on the impact design decisions around nucleoside composition cap structure and length of polyethyl have on both the quality and functionality of mRNA?
To recap, cellular translation and machinery binds to the 5' cap to recruit mRNA for translation. Methylation of the 5' cap results in structure called Cap1 that helps pattern recognition sensors in the cell to mark the mRNA as self versus non-self. As mentioned, the polyethyl protects mRNA from exonuclease degradation on the 3' end. However, it is also required for mRNA expression, as the binding of poly-A binding proteins to the poly-A tail stimulate the ribosome recruitment for translation. Poly-A tail length shortens over time in the cell through a process called deadenylation. Once a poly-A tail reaches a minimum length, the mRNA is decapped and then degraded from the 5' end. In nature, the rate of deadenylation plays an important role in gene regulation, as the length of the poly-A tail determines the half-life of the mRNA. Having longer tails will increase the half-life of your mRNA transcript and therefore increase the total quality of your of your protein expressed. With all this in mind, it is recommended to start with tails of at least 150 to 200 A's, as this is the typical length found in nature.
And looking at immunity, how can the risk of innate immunity development best be addressed?
Cells that have evolved mechanisms to quickly recognize and respond to foreign or non-self RNA as a defense against viral infection. These mechanisms that defend the cell against foreign RNA are part of what is referred to as innate immunity. These include specialized protein receptors called pattern recognition sensors that constantly search RNA for landmarks that denote self versus non-self RNA. A design challenge for researchers will be to introduce foreign RNA for protein expression in cells that also has incorporated features in that RNA that these pattern recognition sensors confirm as self versus non-self. Incorporation of modified nucleosides like pseudo-U and N1-methyl-U have been demonstrated to reduce cellular innate immune response. Use of modified nucleosides in mRNA have been particularly beneficial in therapeutic applications. Another modification that also helps to mark the mRNA as self is the presence of a Cap1, which is a cap methylation modification only found in higher eukaryotes. Non-self RNAs are either quickly degraded in the cell or elicit apoptosis. Because of this, Cap1 capped mRNAs express at higher levels in cells when compared to Cap0 capped or even uncapped RNA. Because double-stranded RNA is present during the replication cycles of most eukaryotic viral infections, cells have evolved pattern recognition sensors to detect the presence of double-stranded RNA in the cell and then elicit an innate immune response. Unfortunately, double-stranded RNA is also produced as an unwanted byproduct during IVT, and thus all mRNA preps contain some percentage of this double-stranded RNA. The removal of this byproduct is essential for reducing the immunogenicity and thus increased expression of the mRNA.
What advice would you share with developers looking to optimize mRNA design and synthesis for their own specific application?
There are many resources that discuss optimization of mRNA design. I'd recommend checking out CellScript's website, where you can find some answers to frequently asked questions and some additional tips and tricks for design. You can also find a variety of kits, enzymes, and assays for both mRNA synthesis and QC. You can also connect with a CellScript mRNA expert, discuss research needs in a one-on-one format. Also, something that shouldn't be overlooked is quality control testing of your mRNA. Confirming that your mRNA is of sufficient quality for your application is a step that shouldn't be overlooked.
Thank you. That leads nicely into my next question. So looking at quality, What are the key considerations and the common pitfalls when developing a quality control strategy for synthesized transcripts? And what analytical tools and techniques are available to assess the quality of mRNA transcripts?
The current USP guidelines recommend both capping and tailing analysis be performed via LC-MS, HPLC, but there is a high capital cost associated with this equipment, both as the initial investment into the equipment, but also as the specialized training and ongoing maintenance that these systems require. The high cost barrier for this instrumentation often means that researchers will use a third party to perform this testing, but outsourcing quality control testing can also have a lot of downsides, including a large sample requirements that are needed, the possibility that samples can be lost or damaged during shipment, long lead times to get results, it can often be weeks, extensive communication that's needed with the testing facility, and with all third-party outsourcing, with all this, it can still be very expensive. As a new entry in the mRNA QC market, CellScript has recently introduced EasyQC mRNA QC assay kits. The EasyQC kits are fluorescence-based phage assays that analyze 5' capping efficiency and 3' poly A tail length. Assays are performed on the benchtop. They use common lab equipment and can often be performed in a single day.
And now we're on to our final question. So finally, what advice would you give to new researchers interested in using mRNA for translation in cells?
Take your time when you're designing your mRNA and focus on the downstream application. For example, how concerned are you about immunogenicity? Would you use modified nucleosides? And would that be beneficial for your application? How much double-stranded RNA contamination can your application tolerate? Also, just like any new area of science, expect that there might be a lot of trial and error for new scientists.
Well, thank you, Ryan, for a really great discussion. This episode was brought to you in partnership with CellScript. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.